May I speak in the words of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. All is vanity, she says, putting on her glasses. I can't read anymore without them. All is vanity, actually it's vanity to try to get through without the glasses now. And actually, I jest in many ways because we take that phrase to mean all is about hairstyles, the way you look, everything is useless. All of that bears no resemblance to the person you really are. All is vanity. And actually, it's been used on through the ages, really, to castigate people who think that the way they dress or the way they look is actually a good thing. Actually, they're going out of their way to present themselves as something that they think they are. And yet, vanity, that phrase, all is vanity, doesn't mean anything of that at all. Well, slightly maybe. Because vanity in Hebrew literally means breath or vapour. And it is used in the book of Ecclesiastes 38 times. It's really about the author of Ecclesiastes saying the whole of life is ephemeral. It's unstable. And it's like breath. You get it and then it disappears. It's like vapour. You see it maybe when the kettle boils and then it disappears into the ether. All is like breath and like vapour. It's here 1 minute and then it's gone. You can't pin it down. It's not going to respect boundaries and order. All is vanity. And so you could say whoever wrote the book of Ecclesiastes was an absolute pessimist. Was he just going through, you know, well, it's just like this, it's awful, it's just vanity, vanity of vanities. And yet, there's also a persistent counterpoint of finding joy as well in that book. But again, the whole book doesn't stick to an order. It's almost like there's just all these ramblings of this person who wrote the book. But again, the whole shape of the book is basically saying life is ephemeral, incomprehensible, and unreliable. So who was this writer then? The word Ecclesiastes derives from the Hebrew word kolet, which seems to refer to the author of the book. In turn, kolet is derived from kahal, which means to assemble or to gather. And the form of the word kolet suggests it is a title for someone who gathers people together for the purpose of teaching them, maybe a preacher. And of course, as the church has developed, we now have ecclesiology, which comes from the same root, that sense of teaching and preaching, a science, if you like, of teaching and preaching about God. Whoever Kohelet was, though, was very keenly aware of the world, and the teachings we find in the book are marked by a contrast interaction between a traditional understanding of God and the concerns of contemporary life. So, Kohelet, who was writing Ecclesiastes at that time, was doing the same as modern theologians and preachers and teachers are trying to do even in 2020. Taking the traditional understandings of God and trying to put those upon modern day life, a life that is still ephemeral, incomprehensible, and unreliable. Everything is vanity. Everything is like breath that comes and goes. And in a sense, this Kohelet is a practical theologian, focusing on the ways of God in the world, in order then to instruct the people on how they are to live. Pessimism and optimism seem to dance around one another. And sometimes it feels that there is no order to the themes, as I've said, but they are the themes of life that do not change. So are they just ramblings then? Or perhaps a real image of how real life is? We could not, none of us, have foreseen what 2020 would bring this year. None of us, I don't think, ever imagined, could have imagined, what we've had to live through the last 6 months, and what seems as if we're going to be living through for many months, maybe years. And so, everything seems even more ephemeral, incomprehensible, and unreliable. Every single aspect of our lives has changed. And where is the reliability? It feels like the floor is moving, doesn't it? On a constant basis, on a daily basis. Just when I thought I'd got my head around what the rules were, yesterday they changed again. And some of them don't seem to make sense. So, for instance, from a church perspective, apparently weddings you can now have 15 people to, funerals you can have 30 people to, but christenings are deemed as a standalone service, so you can only have 6, and that includes the child and the priest, which therefore you can't do a christening, because we can't have godparents then. But why is a wedding and a funeral not a standalone service? Because they don't take place in our normal Sunday worship. So how is a christening not seen as essential worship within the life of the church? Who has decided that baptism is not a central part of our teaching and preaching in the church? Someone somewhere has decided that, but it's not me. And so none of the things that we thought were reliable, none of the things that we base our teaching, our preaching, our core faith on perhaps, even those things have changed and moved, and we have to think about what is our faith? What can we rely on now? Where is the reliable thing? The comfort is that in this section from Ecclesiastes that Heather read to us, we get that sense that there is, as it says, nothing new under the sun. Everyone's lived through times like this, and some of you have lived through times like this in your own lives. Times of upheaval, times of war, times of rationing. You've had to move house, you've had to move countries. You've dealt with illnesses. You have all dealt with life that is unreliable, incomprehensible, and ephemeral. And yet you're still sat here today, because at the heart of everything is your faith. Your faith in a God who does not become unreliable. Because God is the foundation, the creator who brought order out of chaos. In Ecclesiastes, it says, all things are wearisome, more than one can express. I think lots of people are feeling like that at the moment. All things are wearisome. It's just hard work to get through the day. More than one can express. And then it goes on, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. It has already been in the ages before us. Humanity is incredible at the way in which it can adapt to different ways of living and being. That's how we have survived all these years. We've evolved, we've adapted our ways. And so in Ecclesiastes, Coelet overturns all notions of human certainty and instead underscores the inscrutability of God. There is no relying upon ourselves. There's no relying upon our own ordering of the world. We have been called to rely upon God, and specifically to rely upon Jesus Christ, who has given us salvation through his blood and his resurrection. Jesus Christ, as Paul writes, is the only thing that we can boast in. He is the rock of our lives on which we need to build the other things. And if we have Jesus as a rock, then the unreliable stuff, the incomprehensible things, the ephemeral things, will eventually begin to be seen as just peripheral. And they might make us cross, and they might make us worry, and they might make us upset, and they might make us tired and exhausted with coping with it all. But at the end of each day and the beginning of each new day, we come in prayer to Christ, our rock and our salvation. No, there is nothing new under the sun. Not in life, and not indeed in death either. But there is always something new with God. The sacred is always moving within us and around us, changing and moulding our lives and that of the world. The sacred invites us to join in with that change, but we resist it, as Herod did with John. But even when Herod thought he had got rid of the voice crying out in the wilderness for repentance, for change, for returning back to God, God comes back and does something new, something totally unexpected. And you can almost hear in that tiny little passage from Luke the fear in Herod's voice as he realizes he is not in control. God is in control. And Herod tries to take back control in those last few words, and he tried to see him. Herod wanted certainty and order, and he needed to know what was taking place. He was used to being in charge and making that certainty and order happen. Perhaps we are like this too. We want to see God. We want to know where he is and what is going on, especially at the moment. And we want to make certain our lives are ordered and everything is okay. But God is the God of surprises and does not work this way. How then do we allow ourselves to live with the vanity of life, the breath of life, the breath and nature of change and uncertainty where all seems chaos? How do we let go of the need to order and to be in charge? I think I come back to what I said a few sentences ago. The thing that Herod didn't know. That actually God is in charge and God will do the new things, and all we have to do is keep our eyes and our ears open to those new things and come each morning and each night in prayer and thankfulness for the rock on which we build our lives, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.